You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
Before I get to the message, let me just share with you, because I have a word for the year, a word for us to focus on, a word for us to hold on to our hearts. And I got to tell you that more than ever, I feel committed to the assignment that God has given me personally. More than ever, I feel committed to the assignment that God has given us as a community. And you might be wondering, JD, what's your assignment? Don't worry, this is not about me, because my assignment involves you, just like your assignment involves others, right? Your assignment on earth involves other people. But my assignment, I believe with all my heart, that my assignment, my mission is to help you do your best. That as a community, that's what we're here to do, to help you do your best. And I've been thinking about that. I've been praying about that. I believe that 2020 will be a banner year for our church. It'll be a banner year for you, for your family, for your life. And as I was praying about it, I think it was October last year when I began to pray about it. God, what do you have for 2020? What is the word that you have for our church in 2020? What is our vision for 2020? And the word that I couldn't get out of my heart was best. I told our team, like, I can't shake the word best out of my heart. But best can be so ambiguous, right? Best can be so difficult to draw something out of it. Because if I tell you this is the year of best, it just doesn't carry the weight. And I kept thinking and praying. And the idea behind this word was, what would happen to our community? What would happen to this church? What would happen to Stamford? What would happen to Fairfield County, Westchester County? We have people that drive in from the Bronx County. What would happen to our families, to our life, if by the end of this year, we were doing our best? If we committed, everybody committed to do our best in every area. What would happen if by the end of 2020... we ended 2020 at our ideal weight, huh? Somebody say amen over there. There's this pastor that always jokes around. He says he gets by April, and he says, I started the year with the goal of losing 20 pounds, and I'm happy to report that I only have 30 pounds to go. Everybody, I don't know how you've done with that in the past, but what would happen if physically, emotionally, you got to the end of the year and you were operating at your best? What would happen if by the end of 2020 you had no debt and enough money in your savings account for emergencies and to bless other people and to help other people? What would happen if by the end of 2020, when you get to 2021, your conversations, because of the investment you've made, your interaction with your spouse, the way you're connected with your spouse, is better than ever? What would happen if by this time next year, you're so in love that you're making everybody sick, calling each other schmoopy, and all the miserable people getting sick of how well you guys are getting along? What would happen if by this time next year, there was no drama in your family, the relationships were flourishing, and or at least, because it takes two to tangle, right? At least there's no bad blood. Like, things are resolved and things are good, and you're giving God your best, and you're giving people your best, and you're contributing to His cause with your talents and your treasure and your time, and you're teaching your kids to do the same. What kind of community, what kind of life would we be leading if we weren't so busy to get involved, so spread thin that we can't help another, and so broke that we feel like we can't give because we have no margin? What would happen if you had margin in your time, in your finances, in your relationship? Now, I know this is your year. I have in my heart, this is your year. And I hope you're beginning to get a vision for the year, that this is your year. This is your decade to see some of the fruit that God is going to bring in your life to move into a fruitful life. And I began to meditate on that, think about the idea of giving your best, living in our best, and asking God, God, what's the word? I don't feel like if I say this is the year of best, that's gonna kind of take root. And if I just say this is the year to do your best, it can sound like a bait and switch, right? Because if I begin to tell you, like, this is the year to do your best, you're going to be waiting. He's going to either talking about giving more money or giving more of my time by the end of this message. And, man, my heart to God, my wife is my witness, and God is my witness. Like, that's not our heart at all. Like, our heart, obviously, it's important for us to be engaged with every aspect of our lives and what God is doing. But that's out of the overflow. That's out of our desire and our gratitude and our desire to be connected to God. That's not the main focus. That's the fruit of it. And then, about the end of December, it came to me that for us to be able to give our best, for us to be able to do our best, we need to look at those areas of our lives that are not quite okay. We need to look at the areas of our lives that we know they're not operating at their optimal level. And we need to disassemble it. Kind of pick it apart. Take all the pieces like a gear, just like an engine. Take all the gears and the pieces and the wires apart. And present it to God and say, God, what part of this is not working? And would you put it together again? If it's your marriage, your finances, areas of your life that you need to see them get to the optimal level. That's really what you need to do, right? You need to look at them and go, all right, let me pick this apart. Because the way the way it's functioning, it's not working. I need it to work better. I know I'm not operating at my best. How can I get to the place where I can do my best? And I realized that for us to get to that place, we need a rebirth. And that's the word for our year. This is the year of rebirth. 2020, Connect Community, is your year for rebirth. And we're going to walk in that heart, walk in that mindset. That's the word for you to take a hold in your life, believing that God will spring up new life, new habits, new fruit, that He was going to take you further than you've ever been, that by this time next year, all of us will be able to say, I'm not the same. I'm better. I'm not the same. I'm renewed. I'm not the same. I've experienced rebirth. So we're going to take the month of January, and we're going to talk about our values as a church, and I'm going to speak to you from our values. We have five values as a church. That's how we operate as a team. That's our culture. We believe in personal responsibility. We believe in generosity. We believe in compassion. We believe in generosity. I already said generosity. We believe in fun. Just having fun, right? Joy is in there. Joy is in fun. But we believe in fun. And we believe in relationships. That's the fifth, relationships. We're going to take the whole month of February to talk about relationships. We're going to do a relationship series in January. It's going to be awesome. But today I want to focus on the first one I said, personal responsibility. And because we do have a part to play. We do have a part. And if we're thinking of rebirth, if we're thinking of being born again, this is an idea that Jesus introduced, right? And Jesus was having a conversation with a Pharisee in the scriptures. His name was Nicodemus, and he was interested. He was curious. He wanted to learn from Jesus. And this is what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3. He said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He was explaining. He went on to say that the Son of Man, talking about himself, the Son of Man, did not come to condemn the world, but he came that through him the world might be saved. So Jesus brings this idea of salvation connected to this idea of being born again. Rebirth and salvation go hand in hand. And he continues to explain the process of salvation, because salvation is part of the process of rebirth. And he talks about this idea of letting go of the old nature, right? That's what salvation really is you letting go of your old nature, letting go of old habits, letting go of the things that were holding you back, letting go of sin and receiving freedom from that. Jesus went on to say this, John chapter 3, verses 19 and 21 through 21. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. See, to receive salvation and to experience rebirth, you got to come to the light. You got to bring your life to the light. We must have the humility, the openness to look at our lives and say, God, you know, this part of my life is not working right. There are some things in my life that they're just not operating right. There are some parts of me that they need adjustment. I need to get better, and I don't know how to get there. There are some things in me that need confronting. I need to be confronted in this area of my life. And a big tell is if you feel the need to hide, right? Because that's what Jesus is saying. Like, for you to experience this kind of rebirth, you got to come to the light. You got to bring your works to the light. Now, this is not connected to your salvation. Scripture is clear. It tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. It's not our own doing. It's a gift of God. But the rebirthing, the process of rebirth is a process of bringing our works to the light. Now this, let me clarify here, that bringing your works to the light is not a guilt and shame inventory where you go back like 6 months ago and you go, oh yeah, I was at Target, and the Target lady gave me $10 extra in change, and I kept it. I guess I got to bring that to the light. That's not what it is, right? You receive forgiveness from God. This process of bringing things to the light is not about going back 10 years, 20 years. This is about today. It's about your new beginning. It's about your rebirth. It's about you taking your actions, what you're doing right now, every action, every work, because your actions are the fruit of your thought life, right? What you think, eventually you will do. So taking your actions, the fruit of your life, and bringing your actions to God and saying, God, am I engaging this right? Am I doing this right? Is there truth in what I'm doing? Should I go forward with this? This is not about judging your past, but this is about taking responsibility about your present. Because your present, what you're doing right now, you're sowing seeds for your future, right? And what you do right now matters, not only today, but it'll matter tomorrow as well. And I believe that's a great goal to have. It's a great mindset to have in 2020, to go into 2020 thinking, I'm going to pick apart my life. I'm going to scrutinize everything I do to see if it belongs in the truth. I'm not going to operate on autopilot. I'm not going to sit back and wait for my marriage to get better. I'm not going to sit back and wait for my finances to get better while I swipe, swipe, swipe. I'm going to think about what I do. I'm going to focus on my action and present it to God and ask God, am I doing this right? Is this being carried out in you? So I'm going to give you some practical. I'm going to get very practical right now. And I'm going to give you 3 points today that you can do to take on that part of your life, how you're bringing your actions to the light of God and how you're going to do that. The first thing is plan. Plan. Intentionality is so important. As you think about the new year, as you think about the new decade, it's important that you have a plan. And yes, God has a plan for your life. And for those of you who believe and are asking for God's plan, that's important. It's important that you be open with your heart to God's plan. But He has given you the tools to activate His plan. He has given you the talents and the gifts for you to activate His plan. Think about people in the scripture. Noah, God had a plan for his life, but he had to build the ark. Think about Moses. God had a plan for his life, but he had to go to Pharaoh, confront Pharaoh, and lead the people across the desert. He had to do that. David, God had a plan for his life, but he was the one with the slingshot facing Goliath. Simba had to go back to Pride Rock and face Scar. Circle of life, everybody. God's plan does not mean that you abdicate your responsibility. It doesn't mean that you stop being a person. It means that you interact. It's interactive because you have been empowered. You have been empowered by God to make the most of your life. You have the tools that you need to make the most out of your life. And so you need a plan. You got gifts, you got talents, and you have what it takes for you to realize your potential. The first step is a plan. If you want to learn an instrument, what's your plan about it? If you want to get out of debt, what's your plan for it? If you want a promotion this year at your job, what's your plan to get there? What are you going to do? If you want to find a spouse, hello, somebody. Start a business. If you want to accomplish anything, get a new degree, change a career, what's your plan for it? How are you going to spend your time? That matters. See, there's an old saying. I don't know who actually said it. Some people accredit it to Benjamin Franklin, but it says that failing to plan is planning to fail, right? I think we need to update that because failing to plan is planning to binge on Netflix, right? I think that's what it is, right? Because if you don't plan your days, you know where you're going to end up, right? You're going to stream, man. That's what you're going to do. And then Christmas will be around the corner, and you'll be wondering, where did the year go? It went to the office. That's right. Proverbs says this, chapter 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. This is important. You don't want to be hasty with what God has given you. You want to think about the gift. You want to think about the call. You want to think about the things that He has put in your hands. And you want to make a plan, right? Planning, this is what planning is too. Planning is making pre-decisions. Making pre-decisions so that you don't act impulsively or hastily. It's pre-deciding what you're going to do when you're trying to address something. So here's some homework for you. Can I give you some homework? Take time today and this week, if you're married, do that with your spouse. I did today, the earlier the better, to predetermine how you're going to safeguard and how you're going to execute your plan. Take time to predetermine what you're going to do. For example, if you want a healthy marriage, what are you going to do about that? How are you going to safeguard it? If you're going to grow your wealth, how are you going to safeguard it? If you're going to get healthy, how are you going to safeguard it? Example, if you're planning to get out of debt, make a predetermination that you're not going to borrow any money this year, that you're not going to use credit. You're going to operate on a cash basis. It's hard. It's difficult, but you can do it. Because planning is the bridge between wishing and achieving. And you can do that. If you're trying to get a better marriage, have a better marriage, predetermine that you will not put yourself in any position, emotionally or physically, that is going to disrespect or dishonor your spouse. Make that decision. Predetermine that so that when you get to a situation that might challenge that, you already know. You already made the decision. Predetermine that you are always going to honor your family, that you're going to put family first. I don't remember if I've shared this here before, but I was out of town with our family a while back, and we did a guys' night, and we went to this place at a concert, a live concert. And after the concert, one of the guys came in and said, "Hey, man, we don't have our wives, and we're here just men, and I could get us into any club in town. Like, I have it, any club in town." And this was like a big town. It's like, we could just go right now and just, your wife is in bed, kids are all asleep, like, what are you going to come back home to? I was like, man, I already made that decision 17 years ago. I'm not going to do that. Like, that decision is already made. I don't have to think about this right now. I already thought about it. I told him, man, I don't know what you want to do, but I'm going to get in the Uber and I'm going to go back, because this is just not happening. Predetermine that you are not going to put yourself in a position that's going to be dishonoring or disrespectful. This is what John Maxwell says. When people do not reach their potential, it is often because of the choices that they make. So in your plan, don't just plan anything. Make a noble plan. Decide that you're going to make a noble plan. Make noble plans. Your plans, because this is what happens. If your plans have high standards, even if you don't reach, right? You're aiming for Mars. But if you hit the moon, man, it's still pretty high. So if your plan has high standards, even if you don't hit it, it will still elevate you. Your pursuit, your desire, it will still elevate you. And your aiming high will make you better. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, says this, that he who is noble plans noble things, and on noble things he stands. Second thing, after you've made your plan, your second call to order is pursue. For you to experience rebirth, you got to pursue. Then that's when you put your plan into action, right? And for some of you, this is the part that you're going to have to pay the most attention in 2020. This is the part where you're going to have to hone in, man. Because we all fight against the gravitational pull toward stagnation. There's a gravitational pull toward complacency and stagnation. It's all right. I'm okay. I don't need to do that. I can do another day like this. I can go another day with this bad habit. I can go another day with this. I'm not. It's not that bad. Like, there's people that are way worse than me. It's all right. You're going to have to fight against that if you want to rise. There's a part in us, in all of us, that is always going to drive us toward that. There's a part in all of us that's always going to try to stop you and have you park like a vegetable and just be, do nothing. This is what Charles Schwab says, that when a man puts a limit on what he will do, he puts a limit on what he can do. And that's true. If you put a limit on what you will do, you're putting a limit on what you can do. So don't limit yourself. Just in your heart, believe that you can do this. You can execute the plan that God has for you. You can step into that. Don't limit yourself. Don't give in to discouragement, but pursue. And the first step for you to pursue every single day, the first step is this: starting. You got to start, right? Focus on starting. To pursue each day, you got to think, I'm going to start. Don't think about the whole thing, the whole picture. Oh my gosh, I got to lose 20 pounds, 30 pounds. Don't think about that. Think about today. Each day, start. If you want to get healthier, start moving. If you want to write a book, start writing. If you want to make friends, start conversations. Just start. Host a connect group. You might be here thinking, man, I feel like I need to be more connected this year. That's it. Host a connect group. You don't have a place to host? There are plenty of coffee shops that you can go to. Borrow somebody's apartment here. Just tell them JD said it's okay. Break through that initial barrier and start. Right? Prophet Zechariah recorded this. This is recorded in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. You might think, man, this is such a small step. This is such a small step. Like, you have no idea, JD, the mountain that I'm going to have to climb. It's still one step at a time. Whether you see the whole picture, and you have the full ability to do it, or not. It's still one step at a time. Just take that step and start. Pursue them. Once you have made plans, pursue them. It's going to take hard work. It's going to take your initiative. But this is important because that's something that we can't forget. It's obvious, but I'm going to say it because it's obvious. I'm going to say it, okay? God's plan for your life takes you. It takes you for him to do what he wants to do in you. See, the main ingredient for a new you is what? You. You are the main ingredient for a new you. So you gotta commit, and you gotta get on board with yourself to leave yourself self behind and pick up your new self in God so that you can be the you that God has called you to be. You're not just gonna watch yourself go through rebirth. You can't just watch yourself change. You're going to be the one sweating. You're going to be the one that will fall from time to time. You're going to be the one saying, I'm sorry. But if you do fall, pick yourself back up. Scripture says that the righteous man will fall 7 times, but he will get up again 7 times. Now, if you fail, that's not the end. Just pick yourself back up again and start again. Start again. Because nothing, none of this can happen apart from you. Your rebirth takes you. And for some of you, this will be the greatest step each day. You're just going to need to start. But that's okay. Be reminded of this, that you can't complete what you won't start. You got to start if you're going to complete it. So be encouraged in that, that what will deliver the results that you're looking for in your life is not a perfect plan. By the way, it's impossible for you to make a perfect plan. You don't know the future. Only God's plan is perfect, pleasing, and awesome. Your plan will not be perfect. So at some point, once you have made your plans, make your plans, spend time in them. But once you have made your plans, execute, pursue, and commit your plans to God and take action. Which leads me to my last point. Once you pursue and you begin pursuing, once you start, you're going to need to persevere. That's my third point. So you're going to plan, you're going to pursue, and you're going to persevere in what God has called you to do. This is another John Maxwell quote that I love. A big mistake that keeps you from reaching your potential is waiting for something you haven't worked for. And it's true. Listen. Whatever your plans are, it'll most likely be more difficult. It'll most likely be harder than you thought. It's going to take longer, and it's going to cost more. There's going to be a greater cost. It'll most likely be more difficult, and it'll take longer. It'll take perseverance, and it'll take patience for you to get to where God is calling you to be. But I think those two go hand in hand, right? Can you really persevere without patience? I believe that that perseverance is active patience, right? Perseverance is active patience. Because patience, it's not just sitting around and waiting for the world to turn. Patience is you being engaged and persevering. That's what it is. Like, you're persevering with a patient heart, believing and in faith that God is going to turn the situation around, that with each step you're getting closer to your destiny, that with each motion you're getting closer to what God has called you to do. This is what James says, the Apostle James, chapter 1, verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in aught, in what? He will be blessed in his doing. He will be blessed in his doing. A lot of people think of life as if life is a long flight. We're all in a long flight. We're all together in this enormous airplane, and God is the pilot. And the argument is this: why are we going through a storm? Why are we flying through dark clouds right now? And the Christian will say, Storms are a part of life. We will all go through turbulent times. It might make you sick a little bit. You might even throw up. But it's okay. We will get to our destination. And the critic and the skeptic will say, well, but if he's really God, he could have found a better path. There could have been a better way for us to get to where we're going. A path with no turbulence. A path where we can actually sit back, relax, and enjoy the flight. But we're not enjoying this right now. The service carts are not coming through. We're not getting any breaks. Except it's not like that. Life is not a flight. You're not strapped to a seat helpless. Life is a race. It's a marathon. And God has drawn the path. And he is calling you and empowering you to run. And yes, he has given you direction. Yes, your steps might be ordained by the Lord, as the scripture says. But you still have to take the step. You still have to run yourself. You still got to take the step. You have to make the effort. Right? Not toward salvation because you're already saved. Not toward acceptance because you're accepted. Not toward forgiveness because you are forgiven. Not toward being a son and a daughter because you are a son and a daughter of God. But you got to take the step toward that new creation. You got to take the step toward your rebirth. There will be peaks and there will be valleys. There might be some rough terrain. There will be dark moments. There will be moments where you'll be tired. There will be moments where you'll be thirsty. There will be obstacles along the way. But if in your heart you have committed that you're going to plan to reach the end, that you're going to pursue the promise, that you're going to persevere through trouble, then God will give you the strength to finish and finish well. This is what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, his disciple. He said this, that for this reason I remind you to fan in the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Here's what I have found and what I have learned in life. There's nothing wrong with fear. It's a legitimate emotion. There's nothing wrong with you feeling afraid. In the race of life, it's going to get dark at some points. You're going to feel fear. You're going to face fear. That's part of life. The problem is when fear affects your life, affects what you do. The problem is if fear paralyzes you, if fear stops you. And what Paul is teaching his young disciple, this young pastor, is the way that you combat fear, because God has not given you a spirit of fear, is to fan the flame of the gift of God in you. And let me tell you, you got to do the same. You got to fan the flame of the Spirit of God in you. Fan that flame. Let the fire burn. Let your passion burn. Know on the inside that you were called for such a time as this. Know on the inside that God is calling you to rebirth, to see a new future, to see your life progress and be fruitful. Fan the flame of God, because you are not living out of a spirit of fear. No, God has not given you fear. He has given you power. He has given you a self-control. He has given you love. He has accepted you into his community, and he's calling you to rise higher. And I believe that this will be your year of rebirth. I believe that you will connect to God like never before. That you will connect to others like never before in 2020. That you will connect to purpose like never before. Because you are not operating out of fear, but you're operating by the Spirit of God. And let me just prophesy over you. Can I do that here this morning? Can I just say that you will not shrink in 6 months? That you're not going to shrink in 6 years and 6 weeks? That by the end of this year, you're not going to be where you are right now? But God is going to take you to a higher ground. God is going to take you to where you're going, to where you're meant to be. Because the fire of God is burning on the inside. And it will not cease. And you will see the promise of God over your life this year. You will see the promise of God over your life this decade, and you will be blessed and not be cursed. You will be above and not beneath. You will be welcoming God's presence, and you got, because God is for you. That's right, because God is for you, and nothing can be against you. And if you do that, if you come to the light, you bring your life to the light, and you plan, you present your plans before God, and you pursue and you persevere, you will experience the year of rebirth. Do you receive it this morning? Amen. Awesome. Let me call the band back up.